Now, don't say you're weird. Say you're peculiar. There is a difference. Thank you, Brother Edwards. We count it a privilege tonight to be here in the Mississippi District Conference, and we give honor to our General Superintendent, Brother Urshan, and we're certainly glad to see with us tonight, Brother Voga, and we give honor to your good District Superintendent, Brother Edwards, and of course the members of the District Board and all these fine preachers. And I'm glad the Chief High Priest is here tonight, too. The Alpha and the Omega, he's here tonight. The beginning and the ending. We're thanking God for all of his blessings tonight. Praise the Lord. I want you to let the Lord bless you through his word. There's nothing I can do. I'm nothing, but God's everything. These words are on my heart, and I want you to help me say them. Repeat these words after me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Knoweth the way of the righteous. Knoweth the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. I believe that tonight, don't you? Hallelujah! Glory to God! I want you to say these words. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people. We are his people. We are his people! Hallelujah! Yes, sir! And the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, and bless his name, and bless his name, and bless his name! For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's try one more. I feel it on my heart. Everybody say, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him at the timbrel and dance. Praise him at the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not trying to work up a shout. I'm just trying to give praise to Jesus. We love the Lord tonight, and we appreciate God from the deep of our hearts. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Men's philosophies fade away as the dew on a hot June summer morning. But the tested and tried word of God has stood the buffeting winds of time. And there she stands tonight. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. Everyone that has their Bible, would you raise your Bible and just wave it tonight? Raise your Bible and wave it tonight. Thank God for the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. We're going to read to you from the Word of God. I respectfully would have rather Brother Edwards, your superintendent, preached. As I was asked, I shall try to do the best of my ability. You stay with me and I'll stay with you.
Hallelujah.
I want God to have His way tonight.
Yes. Amen.
The Lord has laid a message on my heart. I want to try to preach it. If the preacher comes, we'll preach it. We need the help of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. I want to read two places tonight from a man of seeming obscurity in New Testament understanding. His name is Jude. We'll read to you the first verse of the one and only chapter of the book of Jude. I want you to mark that place as we'll be back there. Then I want to go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I want to begin with verse 11. Chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 11. This is what the Lord laid on my heart in sincere, earnest prayer. 4:11 of Ephesians, coupled with Jude verse 1. And He gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 1. from the heartbeat of an obscure man of God in the first century. Little known, I want to preach his feeling to this generation tonight. Chapter 1, verse 1, the only chapter of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. My text tonight, the heartbeat of Jude. I have prayed over this. This generation needs to hear from the Word of God. Pray with me for a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. You may be seated. If I may tonight take a moment and set the mood. The writer, I know not the name to give credit, said, all human progress up to God has stained the stairs of time with blood. For every gain for Christendom has been bought by someone's martyrdom. Not ours alone, nor man's alone. In furnace fire, a faithful three, though bound in chains and spirit free, a fourth drew near with shining feet and walked with them through livid heat, a king's defeat, a king's defeat. On seething sea in darkest night, the shipwreck saw a walking light, defying wave and wind and deep. He put the wave and wind to sleep. Ah, he will keep. Ah, he will keep. With tenderest touch he heals our ills. And from his well of life he fills with living water, strength divine. Each thirsting branch of this his vine, for he is mine, for he is mine. Nor did he yet forget to pray, while midnight drifted toward the day. Then from that hidden garden bower, he rose from prayer to meet his zero hour. His zero hour. 10,000 saints come thronging home from lions' dens and catacombs. The fire and sword and beast defied. For Christ their King they testified and gladly died. They gladly died. With eye of faith we see today that cross-lit column wind its way up life's repeated Calvary, borne up by superhuman power, we rise to take the hill with ours. O Christ, we follow thee. O Christ, we follow thee. Now I want to preach to you tonight the heartbeat of a dead man. His bones are slumbering in a tomb awaiting resurrection day. His spirit is with God at rest, his soul likewise. I want to preach to you the feeling, the innermost feeling of a man that we know very little about. But his message is applicable to our day and to our generation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. I looked at that and it leaped out at me. You see, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. If that had been us, we'd have been around bragging about it. We'd have had perhaps little call cards made. I'm a half-brother of Jesus. And in our revival campaigns, we would have sure let it made known that we were reared in the same home as Jesus Christ. Yet Jude said he was the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. We read in Matthew 13:55 that Jude was a brother of Jesus. And in Mark 6:3, we read also in Mark 3:21 that the brethren of Jesus thought he was crazy. Thought he was beside himself. You read in John 7:5, you read about his brethren, they didn't believe on him in his earthly ministry. James, of course, was Jude's brother. James in the book of Acts, you can read 15:13, he seemingly was a voice to be reckoned with in the early church. In fact, Paul said in Galatians 1:19 that he went to Jerusalem and talked to James, the Lord's brother. In 2:9 of Galatians, he said of Peter, James, and John, they seemed to be pillars in the church. You read in Acts 1:13 and 14, when they gathered in that memorable day, on that memorable day, in the upper room, that James was there, and Jude, the brother of James. Now here he calls himself the servant of Jesus Christ. I think one of the greatest titles any of us can wear tonight is to be a servant of Jesus Christ. There's too much title seeking among us today. The greatest title we can wear is the servant of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He didn't say pickled, he said preserved. There is a difference. Not petrified or pickled, just preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. You notice he didn't say, I hope you have a lot of money and I hope you have 15 bedrooms in your house and I wish you to have all the material blessings of the world. No, he put the accentuation on the spiritual. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied. And if there is one thing we ought to want redundant in our churches and ought to want lively in our souls and ought to want to be able to be felt in our services is mercy, peace, and love to be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Everybody say common salvation. You see, this is the verse Jude's remembered more for than any other. 12:37 of Matthew said the common people heard Jesus gladly. I think I got the reason why the common people with common sense heard him gladly. Anybody with common sense is going to hear what Jesus has to say gladly. Well, this is a common salvation. I'm so glad for that. Peter in Acts 2:40 told him to save yourselves, this untoward generation. It's every man for himself. And 2:12 of the book of Philippians tells me, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But here it said common salvation. I'm glad that it wasn't just for the rich or the educated or the philosophers or the statesmen or the kings or the queens or the high and the mighty. I'm glad it was for you and for me. I'm glad he made it available for all. 1 Corinthians 1:26 said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen, not us. We had our way, we'd get the high and the mighty. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. I still believe God, and one man is a majority. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Let's get that understood tonight. No flesh is going to glory in His presence. If you crumble a Jericho wall, if you send a Goliath down in defeat, if you walk through a Red Sea dry shod, it'll not be because of your flesh. It'll be because you trusted in the name of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Well, Jude said it's a common salvation. I'm so glad of that. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Another translation says, once for all delivered unto the saints. And I believe that too. I believe it's forever settled in heaven. 40 and verse 8 of Isaiah will tell us that. Amen. And I believe 1:19:89 of Psalms said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I believe that tonight. Well, Jude said you should earnestly contend for what? For the faith. We need more contenders and less pretenders. We need more participators and less spectators. We need people to come down out of the bleachers and out of the balconies and get in the race. We need more workers in the trenches. We need more men that will stand for the truth of the Word of God. We need less glory seekers. We need people that will go through the sweat and the blood and the toil and the tears in the back 40. beyond the guise of the spotlight, the publicity, but will do the work of God wherever they go. Hallelujah! That ye should earnestly contend for what? For what? For the faith. Oh, in this day of blasé, passive, let it go if it wants to, resistance to the overwhelming forces of evil. Thank God for people with backbones like Saul's, and says, look, it's baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, or your sins are not remitted, just simply that way. For the Bible said, repentance and remission, since you preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Luke 24:47. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. In the book of Acts, you can read that. Amen! 10:43. I believe remission of sins is only in the name of Jesus! Hallelujah! I want to contend, not for an empty cause, not for the decline and fall of an empire, not for a glittering personality. I want to contend for the old rugged cross and the empty tomb in Joseph's garden. I want to contend for what fell on the day of Pentecost and what is falling today for the Word of God. Ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to grow. I want us to be prosperous, but not at the expense of compromising the principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! The Bible tells me very plainly that we are to earnestly contend. And Jude's day, in the latter part of the first century, he saw clear vision. He said, there are certain men crept in unawares. They're among us, and they don't preach what they need to preach. He said, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They take the grace of God as a license to go commit sin. That is not Bible. 1 John 3:8 said, he that committeth sins of the devil. 1 John 3:4 said, sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 5:17 said, all unrighteousness is sin. Jesus told the Jews in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a what? Murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Romans 6:1 said, what shall we say then? What then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I say, God forbid. Paul said, God forbid. And the United Pentecostal Church ought to say, God forbid. God forbid! This is not a three-ring circus to run for a popularity contest. We are not here just to run thousands through our churches. We must preach the truth. Not personal feelings. The truth! Hallelujah! 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 Thank God for preachers in pulpits that'll say, God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him, not them, Him. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should rise to walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His resurrection, we shall be also, amen? In the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I believe the Holy Ghost sets you free from sin. I believe the name of Jesus sets you free from sin. I believe there's power in the blood. I believe there's power in the name. I believe there's power in Pentecost that will set free from sin. I don't believe in putting a Band-Aid over a cancer. I don't believe in ministering laughing gas for the painless extraction of sins. We've got too many jokesters in the pulpit now. What we need is the preached Word of God. Preach to me the Word of God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah anyhow. Verse 17 of John 6 said, but God be thanked that ye were, everybody say were, the servants of sin, But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Not just a hodgepodge, menagerie, collection of any old odds and ends belief, but a form of doctrine. It took a prescribed remedy, a prescribed course, and Peter gave it on the day of Pentecost, and I still believe it's the same today. I still believe it's the same today. But don't preach it, preacher. You'll run them off. We need to preach what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Jude's heartbeat was, there are certain men crept in our ways, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It does something to me when I hear people talk about the blessed Holy Trinity or the three separate distinct persons in the Godhead or the phrase God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, none of which are in the Bible. If there's one thing we can't deny, is the absolute almightiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He was the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in the church, the same one God. His name is Jesus. And I'm not about to deny His deity. I believe in Him, don't you? 1 John 2:20 said, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, not Holy Three. And you ought not to get mad at your preacher when he preaches oneness from the pulpit. You have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. Verse 22 said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. We've never said the Father is the Son. We said the Father is in the Son. We believe that. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Jesus said in John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one. Isaiah 9:7 calls Him the everlasting Father. 2:10 Malachi said we have but one Father. Amen. 4 and 6 of the book of Ephesians said one God and Father of all. Jude in his first verse said God the Father, not fathers. And Jesus in 14:9 of John said, when you see me, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. That's one thing we're going to preach as long as there's breath in our body. Jesus Christ is Almighty God. It was the heartbeat of the early church. And the latter-day church had better take up the same clarion cry and preach the same truth. Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm not trying to rev your emotions up or take you for an emotional bankrupt journey or a roller coaster ride. I'm believing what I'm telling you tonight. I'm ready to go to a human bonfire for it. I believe Jesus is God. Not a God, but God. Isaiah 43 and 3 said of God, He was a Savior. 43 and 11 said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. 13:5 of Hosea, God said, there's no Savior beside me. 3 and verse 4 of Titus said, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3 tells me this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 4:10 of 1 Timothy said, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Now, that's enough scripture to prove God's a Savior. God's a Savior. God's a Savior. But along comes Jesus. And it was said of Him in Luke 2:11, unto you is born this day in the city of David. A reformer? No. Just a good man? No. Just a prophet? No. A Savior! A Savior! A Savior! Which is Christ the Lord. Luke 19 and 10 said, Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. 3:6 of Titus said, which He has shown us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. 2:13 of Titus said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to build a better mousetrap. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There can't be two Saviors. I believe there's not but one Savior, and I believe it's Jesus. I believe it's Jesus. I believe it's Jesus. God said in Genesis 17 and 1 to Abraham,
When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, boy. Who said that? God said, I am the Almighty. And here comes Jesus now. In Revelation 1 and verse 8, but let's get the speaker identified in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Who's coming? And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Saith Jesus, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty! The Almighty! How many Almighties can there be? Just one. The Alpha and Omega said he was the Almighty. Revelation 22 and 12 said that, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Connect that verse with Revelation 1 and 8. The Alpha and Omega said he was coming. The Alpha and Omega in Revelation 1 and 8 said he was the Almighty. Whoa, hallelujah. Jude, we're not going to deny that. You've got a bunch of 20th century Pentecostals that's going to go around preaching that Jesus Christ is the Almighty. The Almighty. The Almighty. Oh, I don't have to go to the philosophers and the sages and the wisdom of Socrates or Aristotle or Plato or Zoroaster or Confucius or Marcus Aurelius Antoninus. I don't have to talk to Buddha. I don't have to talk to all Immanuel Kant or any of the Shakespeare's or Longfellows or Robert Frost that may have peeked at the backyard of God. But all I got to do is take my Bible and I pick it up and I read. In Genesis, he's our creator. In Exodus, he's our Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's our pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our ever-reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our ever-living redeemer. For I know that my redeemer liveth. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom and perfection. In the book of Song of Solomon, he's our lover and bridegroom. Isaiah, Prince of Peace. Jeremiah, Righteous Branch. Lamentation, Weeping Prophet. In the book of Ezekiel, he's a wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, why, he's the fourth man in the midst of life's fiery furnaces. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. And you know what he is in Joel? I'll tell you what he is in Joel. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what he is. I said, that's what he is. I believe Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Stay with me 3 minutes and I'll prove it to you. Ephesians 4:4 said there's one Spirit. John 4:24 said God's a Spirit, singular. 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, all right? Deuteronomy 6 tells me, you read about verse 4 here, so the Lord our God's one Lord. 1 Corinthians 8:6 said there's one Lord Jesus Christ. So there can't be but one Lord. And that one Lord is that one Spirit. And God is a Spirit singular. Let's find out who the Lord is. We found out who the Spirit is. Acts 9 and 5. Saul of Tarsus going down to Damascus was smitten down. Looked up and said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Jesus Christ is in you. Philippians 1:19, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul, Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. Ephesians 3:17, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And Jesus in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Jesus Christ is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that tonight. And we're going to preach it that way. And Amos, he's our burden bearer. Obadiah, mighty to save. Jonah, great foreign missionary. Micah, the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Nahum, the publisher of peace. And also Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist, crying, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In Zephaniah, he's our Savior. Haggai, the restorer of God's lost heritage. I believe that. Amen. In Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. Matthew, he's the Messiah. Mark, the wonder worker. Luke, the son of man. John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, the justifier. 1 Corinthians, sanctifier. Galatians, redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. Philippians, he's our God who shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. And you know what he is in Colossians? Come a little closer. I'll tell you what he is in Colossians. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our soon coming king. 1 and 2 Timothy, he's the one mediator between God and me and the man Christ Jesus. Titus, he's our pastor. Philemon, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the great physician for the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And I believe that happens still today. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's the chief shepherd who soon shall appear with a crown of unfading glory. 2 and 3 John, he's love. And you know Jude? You know what he is in Jude? He's the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. Let me tell you what he is in Revelation. In Revelation, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I believe that's what he is tonight. He's a King of kings and a Lord of lords. Hallelujah. I'm not going to deny his deity. I'm not going to deny his incomparability, his incomprehensible ability. I'm not going to deny his glory, his name, his majesty. I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to hold it up. Jesus is Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Denying the only Lord God. Denying. I'm sorry. I really mean this. Those of you that know me know I cannot be a hypocrite. I'm not up here trying to put on no show. I'm not trying to parade anything. I wrestled with God. Who wants to preach the book of Jude? You talk about getting clobbered and walloped and socked and punched and gouged. You hold on. And if you leave, you're telling on yourself. And it's going to get worse yet. I don't know if you'd want Brother Jude to preach in your pulpit or not. Yeah, all right, let me go on. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. We haven't got a stranglehold on God. Only as long as we hold the precious truths that's been handed down to us by our forefathers, is God going to bless us? Please tell me, take me for what I'm telling you tonight. Other churches at other times have had a touch of God in their churches. It's an undeniable fact of history. But they snuffed out the light. They refused to walk in further light. And they're in the graveyard tonight of ancient church history. Please believe me. The pallbearers that carried these other churches to their graves will do work for us if we compromise these precious cardinal truths that have been bequeathed to us by the apostles and the early first century church. If you're going to shed blood and sweat and tears, shed it for apostolic doctrine and apostolic truth. Hallelujah. Let us learn. God said, I'll put you in remembrance through Jude. How that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Numbers 1:46, when they took the census and they left Egypt, you find that there were 603,550 robust, healthy men. God got aggravated with their griping and murmuring, and he said, you're going to wander 40 years. Only Joshua and Caleb, of those 20 years old and upward, survived. You think a church crippled like that and paralyzed like that, walking on crutches like that, would have to resort to some other tactic to make it through the blazing hot searing sun of the desert sands, the cold dreary nights of lonesomeness. But another census was taken just before they went into Canaan land. You can read about it in the book of Numbers 26 and 51. And it said there were 601,730 men 20 years old and up. I did a little arithmetic, and that was only 1,820 shy of what they started with. Don't tell me God can't take someone take my place. Don't tell me God can't put someone in your place. Don't tell me truth is going to fall in me or in you. Oh, God, help us tonight to realize only as we hold Him up will He hold us up. My God, if He cast Him off, He'll cast us off. But let's hold on to Him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah! And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved. Oh God, angels. I've always wanted to see an angel. I never have. I've seen some fallen angels, I think. I've seen some devils, I'm sure. But I've never seen an angel. I really secretly admire these fellows that have breakfast with Gabriel. And dinner with Michael. But somehow I think God wants us to walk by faith through His Word. But notice what He said of the angels. The angels had kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, yet reserved in outer darkness under the judgment of the great day. Angels are higher order than you are, and I am tonight, did not get away with rebellion. 1 Corinthians 6 and 3 said, we're going to judge angels. 2 Peter 2 and 4 said, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but what? Cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment. God didn't tolerate rebellion in the angels, and He'll not tolerate it in us. Revelation 20 and 10 said the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. That disproves annihilation. They've been in there 1,000 years, the beast and false prophet, and along comes the devil. He gets thrown in. But I read in the Bible, in the book of Matthew 25 and 41, that hell was prepared not for you, not for me, but for the devil and his angels. But if you rebel and I rebel, we'll go to the same hell, the same Gehenna, the same lake of fire with the angels that rebelled. God will not tolerate rebellion. Even the Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Example number 3. The wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and those about them that blatantly threw the reins loose on the necks of passion and did whatever they were wanting to do or big enough to do. God did not tolerate sin in them. And they went after strange flesh. God forbid today. I don't want to assault anybody's sensitive thinking tonight. But those that claim and cry for gay rights, God forbid the day we issue a card of credential in our organization for anyone with such a spirit as that. That's not a disease, that's a devil. And that devil needs to be prayed out and preached out and sung out. I believe God can straighten up your... He can just straighten it up. That's just what I'll say. He can just straighten it up. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. In Romans 1 and 26, the Bible tells me the example is given. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. People with that kind of spirit's got a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We don't need those kind of people running our country, our pastoring our churches, our evangelizing in our world. Verse number 32 of Romans 1 said, who knowing the judgment of God, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Oh, God, I don't want to secretly admire such a distorted, warped thinking as that. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." Maybe you need a sissy devil prayed out of you tonight.